The field specialist at the Aberdeen office. Good morning, Garrett.
Morning.
Well, how's the weather up in Aberdeen?
Doing great. Yesterday it hit 54, so I'm liking it.
Oh, I know it, but it didn't freeze. How's the snow? Did you have much snow up there?
In the last few weeks we've gotten probably, here and there we got some, but this last one was only like an inch or so.
Oh, so you don't have much left there at all?
No, just the piles.
Frost still in the ground pretty deep?
Last time I looked, I think it's at least a couple feet down, according to the Mesonet stations.
We're starting to get some of that sloppiness on the top, so hopefully it'll...
Yep.
But you know what, it always seems to be, we got to go through it, but now it's supposed to cool down. I talked to Laura up in your office, and she's talking about cooler weather the next 2 weeks. That isn't good for us.
Yeah, we're not going to be getting the field early, I don't think.
Well, I know you've been getting a lot of comments going out about the dicamba and the dicamba-tolerant chemicals. You had some results on off-target herbicide research data following this season, and I know State Department of Ag had quite a few complaints, not only here but in the nation. What was the research that you did?
Yeah, so this is preliminary research done by other universities. Actually, I just got permission to use it.
Okay.
So I personally didn't do this, but it is done by University of Arkansas, Purdue, University of Nebraska, University of Tennessee. This is all small plot research, of course, 2 to 3.5 acres each area that was applied. And Genia was some of it, and also Extended Max.
Well, 3.5 acre plot may seem like a small plot, but in research, that's pretty big.
Yeah, in research, that's big.
So when did they put it, when did they do it, and how did they do it?
Yeah, so this was done last summer for the first growing season that we had the registered products for overtop application, post-application on DT beans. So they did this, so they sprayed it on label, 2017 label, that is. So all the recommendations were aligned there with all these categories these times. They sprayed it. And then after they sprayed it, what they did is they came back and looked at the degree of injury from susceptible plants, that'd be soybeans that are non-tolerant to dicamba. And they looked from 20 to 200 feet away from the plots, and they could tell the difference between the time it happened, primary plus secondary movement, and then also just secondary movement later on after application.
So what did they spray at a different wind temperatures too? Or wind,
no,
wind speed?
It was all sprayed. Some of it was a variance, but it was all on label.
Okay.
So between 3 and 10 miles an hour, stuff like that.
So what did they find then as they looking at the primary and the secondary drift?
Yeah. So they found, again, we already knew this, but a lot of primary movement happened. Damage especially happened 20 feet away from these plots, all the way to 200, but majority of it was in the first 50 feet or so, and then there was a substantial amount of injury happening secondary, so that's definitely after application that was happening. So anywhere from 0 to up to 50% injury on plants 20 feet away on secondary movement, and you had a lot, about 15% or less when you went 100 feet or more away.
Yeah. So the secondary, that was more volatilization then? Movement?
Yep, so volatility of the product, yep.
Now, how are they using this? Or did they spray use low volume then?
Yeah, so these are sprayed on label. So they did the labeled rate on Ingenia and Extended Max with vapor grip.
Okay. Now, I know South Dakota had quite a few cases last year. What have you been hearing out there at some of the meetings? I know you did quite a few. Are we going to see that those dicamba tolerant beans still with the acres, or are you seeing some maybe moving away?
I think we're going to see more. From what I've heard from the public, I think there's going to be a lot more acres of DT beans, more for defense than actually application.
You know, I just talked to Russ Higgins out in Illinois, and that's his thing. He said he heard some were going to plant some in case their neighbors did so they wouldn't get the drift on it. And I guess we're going to see quite a few acres then out there, huh?
I would guess there's going to be an increase from last year, yes.
Now, when you were out there as far as South Dakota, do you think South Dakota went far enough as far as some of the regulations that they put on the dicamba?
As a state, you're talking about like the
state
institution
South Dakota,
itself?
Yeah. Yeah, South Dakota.
Yeah, Yeah, the Department of Ag, I think, could have went farther. I think they're pretty lenient on what they did do. The label for 2018 is restrictive, a lot more than it was last time, but the problem is we're not dealing with the possibility of volatilization after application.
Now, are we talking about not putting a deadline on how late they can go?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great product for, if it's warm enough, for a burn down early post, but for an emergency save your crop in late June, early July, that's not a good situation.
So in other words, we want to keep that in the first half of the June to make sure that we don't get that volatilization.
Yeah, it still will move, but then the plants surrounding it, the sensitivity to dicamba will be not as impactful, I guess.
When did they see that the biggest impact on the dicamba drift on some of these soybeans? We talking about the blossoming stage or earlier than that?
Yeah, research in the past has proven that yield loss courses more as you get closer to bloom. This preliminary research, they didn't really say. I think it's something similar because it's still the same chemical, same side of action and everything. So, again, as later in the season you get towards blooming and pod set, there's going to be a lot more damage to the beans.
But it's still a good product if you go in those beans to go in there early on burn down and not have to wait to put the beans back in the ground.
Yeah, it's a great product. It does its job. We did research. I personally did research on just weed control itself, not volatility, here in the Aberdeen area. And if between, I didn't have Liberty, of course, because these are DT beans, but with the dicamba products, we're seeing if you have a really heavy kochia and it's ALS and glyphosate resistant, and then only control post, especially in drier areas, there's going to be dicamba. We had 80% or better in heavy kochia.
So you put that on, early post? Or?
It was, early post, probably mid-June.
Okay. And you did really good control, and that was some of the resistant kochia?
Yeah. We did have some come back. Of course, dicamba at those rates do have quite a good residual control, too. But we had about 20%, I would say, on average, come back by harvest.
So as far as the research went, didn't really tell us much different. Did they take the yield on those things at all then?
Not that they're sharing.
Okay. It's one of those things that it's kind of hard too, because it's only 1 year of data. Nobody really likes to talk too much about 1 year of data today.
Yep. It was just more of to get the information out there. It was one thing that wasn't been talked about much. So.
Kind of an awareness, because somebody said is 1 year data, if it's good, you want to talk about it, but if it's wrong data, you don't really want to have that out there.
That's
who knows?
True.
Who knows? And 3 years later, who knows? We might have totally different data. But anyway, it's one of these. It does tell us that we have to be very cautious when you do it.
Yep. There's a reason why there's a label and all the restrictions on top of that.
So as far as anything new coming out this year, Jaron?
Product wise,
yeah.
I mean they're hitting the road off the top of my head. There's a few new products, but a lot of these are just more combinations of the same chemicals we've been using. But premixes, the new choline 2,4-D products are on the market now. Are hitting the road, so especially if you have water hemp issues, the new Enlist products will be a good option as well.
So in other words, really it's not too many new products, just a lot of different mixtures as you go out there.
Yeah, no new chemicals necessarily. Yeah.
So we kind of going back to some of our old chemistries as far as mixing them up and putting them together with some of the newer ones, and it seems to be working. I guess that's stuff on some producers trying to keep straight, so they need to have your help or some agronomists out there that are helping them tell them which these new products are.
Yep, so using the research that we have, and I'd definitely recommend mixing multiple sites of action.
And pre is always a good thing to go.
And always rely on a pre, even if right now it's looking like we might have enough moisture coming. But, so definitely use a pre.
But what do you think? We're going to be late this year, a little late?
I think so. I don't know. from what I can tell, it seems like 2 weeks ago I thought we might be on time, but now it looks like it might be later. But I don't know. The weather could change. So
yeah, if we can warm up some of these temperatures and get some sunshine at least, maybe it'll work. Well, I sure appreciate you joining me. And Jared, have a good spring, and hopefully that we can get some of the sunshine and maybe get the frost out of the ground and we can get going.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Garrett. That's Garrett Schaefer, who's the weed specialist, weed field specialist at the Aberdeen office.
All right. Very good, Chuck. We'll squeeze in. Yep. I got to grab a PSA unless you've got something.
No, there's a wheat.
All right. Very good. We'll put that in, and that'll be coming up.
My family and I finally found the perfect apartment to rent.
My school is right down the block.
Can we go to the park anytime?